The scripture reading is Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and members of 9,000 branch churches around the world, and branch churches in Korea, and local sanctuary members, and those who are attending this service through satellites and the internet, and those GCN TV viewers and Manmin TV viewers, let's give all thanks and glory to God the Father who blessed us to have this 2011 Paul's and Mary's Mission devotional service. I extend my thanks to all the devotees who have prepared for this service with all your hearts, minds, and souls. Dear devotees, the title of this devotional survey is Peacemaker. You know this word from during the Wednesday service? Oh, you remember, huh? Last Wednesday service, Dr. Esther Chung delivered a message about the peacemaker. Today's scripture says, the peacemakers will be called sons of God. Here, sons also refer to the daughters as well. So, in the Bible, when it refers to, when it says sons, it refers to daughters as well, okay? Okay? Don't say, God is, discriminate, sons and daughters, okay? Those who have listened to the holiness gospel for a while in their religious life, understand the importance of having peace. If you just attend this church for a couple of years, you find that there is hardly any strife or arguments with loud voices in this church. In this church, nobody breaks peace in front of me since the beginning of this church. For the last 29 years, there has been no one who is breaking peace right before my eyes. There have been no people who argued before me. I haven't seen them until now. In this church, there is nobody who is trying to break the peace. But I'm not saying that you are not breaking peace in yourself, okay? So listen to this message carefully and discern whether you are the one who is breaking peace inside of you. And you should not become such peace breakers instead of peacemakers. But the reason that I'm delivering this message is because you have to cultivate true inner peace, not just peace on the outside. So let me give you an example. There is a Korean saying goes, you avoid human refuse, not because it is to fear, but because it's dirty. That's right. Human refuse is dirty, so you avoid it. It means you should not try to argue over what is right and wrong with those who are rough and stubborn in character. It means if you come in contact with such a person, you will only be offended, so you should avoid him in the first place. But this is not really having true peace with him with a good heart. You still have some discomfort in heart. And if you are confident that you can suppress him, you will break peace anytime. Moreover, in fact, it's an evil attitude because you are judging that person as very stubborn and you look down on him as if you are seeing something dirty. If you keep quiet with this kind of attitude, we cannot say you really have peace even though there is no strife or argument. Now, you know this truth, do you really have peace that God desires of you to have? What's the title of this message? Peacemakers. Blessed are those peacemakers. Why are they called blessed? Because they will be called sons of God. Now, what's the opposite? Those peacebreakers. The peacebreakers. Those who break peace between others will not be called as sons of God. Right? So you cannot be called sons of God if you are peacebreakers. Well, everybody becomes sons and daughters of God the Father, you know, once you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Well, the people in the Garden of Eden call God Father. But true sons and daughters, they are not. You may call many people father. You just call them father because you love them or respect them. Let's say you call a father of your friend father. You may call him father, but he will not call you my son. The case that Father God calls those people true sons are those who are true peacemakers. If you broke peace, then you have to repent as you turn back your life. You think you are sons of God and daughters of God, but reflecting on the word of God, ask yourself whether God can call you my sons, whether he can consider you as his true sons or daughters. You have to check it. You know this truth. Do you really have peace that God desires of you to have? Having no audible conflict does not necessarily mean that you have true peace. You have something against that person in your heart, but you just suppress it because you know the truth. Or you just do what the other person wants, but you still suffer in heart having this comfort. So, you think, how long do I have to put up with that person? Don't you have this kind of thought? If you have this kind of discomfort in your heart, check yourself. Well, you come to my residence after Friday all-night service. A senior deaconess said this, Senior Pastor, please help me to pull it out. Help me pull it out, this hatred from my heart. Well, if you have hatred in your heart, you cannot make peace. I mean, she's the one who who does not skip in the Daniel prayer meeting. She attends every kind of services. But she says she has hatred in her heart. So I pointed out her in front of other people. You pray so hard. You attend every Daniel prayer meeting, special prayer meeting, every kind of service. But still you have hatred in your heart. You still have hatred in your heart. Do you think hatred is the only one in your heart? Don't you think you have envy and jealousy? I asked her because I couldn't understand her. She prayed so hard. She said she prayed so hard. Oh, she's a member of Mary's mission. You pray so hard. How come you have, you know, hatred still in your heart. You are not a novice Christian. You are a senior deaconess. So honestly, I don't understand such people. Father God says, you know, He hates it so much. The hatred and envy, jealousy. But still you guys have it in your heart and suffer from it. But you don't, you know, you don't express, you don't show it to others that you are suffering. It is only you who knows, you know, how much you're suffering. Because you smile outside. So nobody knows. Now, is it the only case with her? Many people have this kind of problem. Can you really accept the other person wholeheartedly? Humble yourself and lift that person up so you can have peace? You gotta have this kind of heart. Now all the praise leaders, all of you should have this kind of heart. If you have hatred, and jealousy, and envy, you are the one who's breaking peace. You can break peace with everybody. Envy and jealousy anybody can be an object to your envy and jealousy, so you can break peace with everybody. So the enemy devil and Satan don't want you to get rid of it, but the Holy Spirit tells you to get rid of it as soon as possible. So if you are willing, then you have to say yes, and you have to pull it out, even if you do fasting. Last week, I heard this. We have a Heavenly Dance team in our church, right? And they are a new team. They appeared, and their name, the team name, the Heavenly Dance team, was named by God the Father. So, they are worth to be praised. And they, you know, in an, they're, you know, they are quite high in our, you know, many people in the favor of that team. Now, I have found some people are quite unpleasant with this fact. Among the students, among elders, among grown-ups, some people feel discomfort with Heavenly Dance Team. They say, why senior pastor is only always in the praise, in the give praise to the Heavenly Dance Team? Well, if I can find people that I can give praise, I want to give praise all the time. All the grown-ups are so happy with the Heavenly Dance Team. They always say, you know, I love that team. I'm so happy to see, you know, such a team in our church. Even the branch church members, you know, testify that they are so happy. They say, you know, they are so good, you know, praise leaders, and, you know, many congregation members, you know, come to the service earlier than actual service to participate into that, you know, preparation and praise and worship. Well, they are worth to receive praises, right? But there are people who become jealous of them. And they say, you know, they call me bad names for that. Well, they feel jealous of that Heavenly Dance Team. And they become, you know, they become somewhat, you know, uncomfortable for a senior pastor who's giving praise to a Heavenly Dance Team. Well, even though you didn't eat well, you didn't sleep well, but, you know, you follow me well, so you have good faith. Did our Lord say that ever before? No, He has never said that. He never praised His disciples. He rather said, you weak faith. Now, in front, I mean, he praised other people before his disciples. Regarding the centurion, our Lord said, I've never seen this kind of faith in other people. And what about the Syrophoenician lady? Our Lord praised Syrophoenician lady in front of his disciples. Now, his disciples, what do you think they think? Well, we got hungry, we follow him even if it is too hard and rough. But, you know, even if we do all kinds of these troubles, you know, they don't call me, I mean, they don't say we are doing good, but they say, you know, Syrophoenician lady is so good. Well, all his disciples rejoiced together with our Lord. Wow, we have to have that kind of faith. They made that kind of resolution. They didn't become jealous of the lady. Well, why didn't he give me praise? They didn't say that. They were not jealous. They rather rejoiced. Since it is the word of our Lord, they rejoiced together. The fact that you have envy and jealousy means you have still evil in your heart, and you have to get rid of it as soon as possible. And this envy and jealousy is the number one sin which, you know, caused a first human being made the first sin, murder. If you have this envy and jealousy, you cannot make peace with everybody because you will feel uncomfortable. So, can you really accept the other person wholeheartedly? Humble yourself and lift that person up so that you can have peace? Check your heart. Jesus had peace with everybody. He didn't have peace only with those who were educated, meek, and obedient. He served with love and had peace with those who were less educated, and even with sinners and tax collectors. So our Lord didn't care about educated and uneducated, rich or poor. He made peace with everybody. And we, you and I, should become like him. Well, we have to make peace because, you know, he is very rich. Well, he is well educated. I have to make peace with him. Well, he is not well educated. I should not make peace with him. No, you shouldn't do this. Also, our Lord died for all people who were living in sins to bring peace between God and human beings. I hope that Paul and Mary's mission will have peace, beginning with the guidance pastors and directors and to all the workers and lay members. You should not just have peace among yourselves, but also you should be able to help people around you to have peace. I pray in the name of the Lord that in doing so, your peace and joy will overflow wherever you are, and you will be recognized as children of God. At home, you have many relatives and family members, and you have co-workers at work. You should become a peacemaker. Well, since, you know, there are many, you know, good people to me, you know, I can make peace here. Well, in this place, you know, so many people don't treat me well, so I will be a peacebreaker. No, no, no. Dear devotees, to become God's children who are peacemakers, first, you must cultivate goodness in you. Without goodness in you, even if you desire to have peace, you can't. You may say with your lips, but true peace doesn't come to you in your heart. So, true peace cannot be made. If you are not peaceful in your heart, it means you are evil in your heart. You have to accept this fact. So you first cultivate goodness in you. It's not just goodness in your sight, but the kind of goodness that is recognized by God the Father himself. Many times, even those who break peace do not think they are evil. Well, it's obvious that you are the one who broke the peace. But you do not recognize it. You don't realize it. And you don't acknowledge it. You know, even in the politics of the world, every politician says they are working for the country and for the people. You know, even all the politicians say, you know, they work for the country and for the people. And they argue all the time. They, you know, argue that they are right and you are wrong. I am right, but you are wrong. They argue like this over every matter. For every day, 24, 7 days, a week. They do not come to a conclusion united. But except one fact. When it is about the matter regarding North Korea, you know, they unite quite well. Except that one, they always argue. I haven't found any politician who, you know, pursue peace. I haven't seen any politician like that who truly, you know, make, you know, the Congress that, you know, our people can favor. If there is a one politician, then he will be the true leader of the whole world. But there is none. I'm so sorry not to have such a politician. I mean, such people can come out only when he is educated by the truth of God. But there is none. So that's why we cannot expect, you know, such good, you know, politicians to come out. They say they work for the country and for the people. But in fact, they are seeking their own advantage. So they cannot be united and they always have conflicts. It is similar in the Lord. Even those who are strong in character and collide with others often don't think that they are doing anything evil. They think that they are trying to accomplish something good. They say, my intention is good. This will bring about better results, and that is why I insist on my opinion. Or they say they have learned and they know the truth, so they are right and others are wrong. Since, you know, they know this is the truth, so they are right and others are wrong. But those who really seek goodness will never break peace. On the surface, they seek goodness. But the reality is each one seeks his or her own advantage. This is why peace breaks. Even in a situation where both options are okay, they insist on what they want. They insist on what seems to be right in their eyes, what is more beneficial for them, what is more comfortable, and what reveals them more. Goodness comes out of goodness stored up, and evil comes out from the evil stored up. So if you are good, then good words come out. If you are evil, evil words come out through your lips. Amen? Students in the second floor, amen? Okay. Well, yesterday, and then high school and middle school students came to my residence. A student said, Senior Pastor. She looked so happy. Senior Pastor, with the money you gave me, You know, I bought a school uniform. She looked so happy. And then I was kind of sad in my heart. He saved the money that I gave. Of course, she saved some money from somewhere. Well, because she's a student, she should buy school uniform and went to school, go to school. But she couldn't make it. But she saved money and she bought the school uniform, and she looked so happy. So after the meeting was over, I thought about it. Our students, still there are students who are in need, who couldn't even afford school uniforms. There are students still. There are still such students. And what about other necessities? Even if they want to buy, they cannot buy. So what I'm doing is good. I should continue until it comes out with some good fruit. So I am so thankful. I was so thankful because she looked so happy. Even in such a, not good situation, she looked thankful, and then she went to school. So I was thankful for her. I was thankful for many reasons. Even though they learn the truth and know it, goodness cannot come out as long as goodness is not cultivated in their hearts. You think you may make it happen, but it doesn't work that way. They might hurt others' feelings or act rudely just to insist on what seems to be right in their own sight. On the other hand, those who have goodness of heart cannot do any evil. They seek the way that gives comfort and more benefit to others. They seek what is more beneficial for the kingdom of God. Unless the other person is doing something unrighteous, they go with others' opinions. Even though they are more right than others, they feel sorry about insisting on their own opinions when others are insisting on theirs. If both parties insist on their own opinions, both parties may suffer. You suffer even when you argue. Those who have good hearts, they suffer in their hearts. Those who are evil, they keep arguing until, their opinions are accepted. But those who are good in heart, they suffer when they argue. So they try not to argue. They rather accept what others insist. They don't like argument itself. They just yield. In mission groups or small groups, if each one insists on their own opinions, they all suffer together. Let's say you have a meeting in a small group, but their hearts are not united. Here, the group leader might think it's not right, and he wonders, why can my workers and members gather their hearts as one? They know the truth to some extent, so why are they not faithful within the group? The leader thinks it is goodness to obey within the established order and gather with the united heart, but the members are not doing so. He or she is trying her or his best to lead the group, but She is suffering because her members are not following her as she thinks is appropriate. But the standpoint of the members is different. They would say, our leader just does what she wants without asking the opinions of the members. Well, we have many group members like this. Many group members think they are right. And they wonder why their members are not following their opinions. Even though, I mean, but the members' thinking is different. Well, our leader does not, you know, listen, you know what? Our leader just does what she wants without asking the opinion of the members. Even though we offer our opinions in the meetings, she just does everything in her own way. So we don't even want to go to the meetings. And the group leader insisted, you know, members should follow the order. As the leader, it is practicing goodness by understanding and following the opinions of the members. But the leader is so self-righteous that it is difficult for the members to follow her. In a mission group, the guidance pastor might think as following. As a pastor, I prayed concerning her, and I advised her by the urging of the Holy Spirit, but she just cannot accept it, and she avoids me. How frustrating it is. Also, this leader does not respect the opinion of the pastor, and how can the mission group have revival? Well, this pastor thinks the revival does not come to the mission due to the group leaders. But the members might think quite differently. I'm trying my best, but the pastor always points out my weak points, so it's hard. I would rather avoid her. So they don't become diligent. They'd rather avoid meetings with her. They don't come to meetings. And they don't feel any excitement. Also, the leaders might think, the pastor is asking me to do this and to do that, but the small group leaders and members find it exhausting. I'm caught in the middle and don't know what to do. But if you consider the viewpoints of others, you will not have such uncomfortable relationships. Through continuous prayers, the pastors and leaders in higher positions should think of the ways to make the members' souls prosper and make them happy in leading their Christian lives. Also, the members should try to gather their hearts and be united, taking consideration of the standpoints of the pastors and leaders. In everything, you shouldn't insist on what seems to be good in your sight and make others follow it. I hope you will always seek the benefit of others and seek the benefit of the kingdom of God, which is truly good. Dear devotees, to become God's children who are peacemakers, second, you should be confident before God. You should be confident before God. Let's say, well, if I ask you to raise your hand, if you feel you are confident, how many of you can raise your hand? For trusting entirely on God, that God is almighty, God can do everything. All we have to do is just do as we believe in Him. We can do everything. If your confession is true, if your faith is true, then you can become confident before God. Now, where is that confidence in you? Many people come to me to receive my prayer. Most of them are your family members or those unbelievers in your family. And they just register to this church and come to me to receive my prayer. They were in the hospitals. And at the verge of death, they register to our church and come to me to receive my prayer. Some people say, I believe that I will be healed once I receive prayer from you. Well, that great, the faith is great. Now, do you think the faith is right? No, it's not. It's not true faith. So second, you should become confident before God. For this, you should not apply the standards of truth to others, but to yourself, and cultivate your heart with the truth. Don't put blame on others. Don't put blame on your group leaders. Don't put blame on your members. It is all your fault. Put blame on yourself. Now, problem is, even if you listen to me, you don't obey. You heard me, and you have faith, but you don't obey. Even if you believe, you don't obey. And you think you are right, and others are always wrong. So you don't obey. When you can obey what you cannot obey, that is the true obedience. That's what, you know, my wife said yesterday in a prayer meeting. You have to break down yourself, humble yourself down completely. If you're in the 100th floor, you have to fall down to the first floor. You have to break yourself completely. Unless you do it, you think you're always right. So you cannot find your true self, so you cannot change. Some people act as if they are good in front of others, but they still have evil in heart and store up walls of sin before God. Even though they don't clash with others, they are breaking peace with God, and thus they cannot be confident before God. It happens a lot with your words. Well, so many members of the church, you know, they try to receive my prayer by faith. But nowadays, novice believers, they come to me with the terminal cancer. And they ask me to receive my prayer. And they ask me to pray so that, you know, they can receive good operation from doctors. Well, I do pray for such people. But I feel sorry for them. Well, the cancer is nothing. But why don't they show their faith, even after they witness so many signs and wonders and miracles? Why don't they show such a trivial faith, which is as small as a mustard seed? It is so small, the mustard seed. Is it smaller than a watermelon seed? It is smaller? What about the grape seed? It is smaller than the grape seed. It is a lot smaller. Let's say you put a point with your pen on a paper. Mustard seed is as small as that point. If you have this kind of faith, you can move the mountain. That's what our Lord said. If you can understand its spiritual meaning, then it will become great faith to you. That's what our Lord said. Whatever He said is absolute truth. So if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, everything can work according to your faith. But the problem is people do not show their faith, even after they witness the signs and wonders and miracles before their eyes. Even though they saw the dragonflies coming down from the sky, hundreds of thousands of dragonflies. You know, they came down when our members gathered together in the yard, so that all the members could see. Even the people from the other countries can see. And dragonflies, they don't go anywhere. Father God, you know, supervised those dragonflies, so they landed on the fingertips and foreheads and the shoulders of our members. Dragonflies, obey. Now, it happens just once? No, it happens all the time. You have seen these kind of miracles, but you still cannot show your faith? Why do you have to depend on the world? So, to me, it is so little faith. Even if I told you many times why you don't have such a faith. Signs and wonders, the change of weather, and those miracles, even if you witness them, even if you experience them, dragonflies is not just a normal thing. But it is done in this church. Such dragonflies obey altogether. Do you think I just say, hey, dragonfly, just come out. Come to our summer retreat place. No. I harbor in my heart. I pray that the dragonflies will gather all the dragonflies from other countries in one place. And when our members are gathered all together in the yard, let them come down and land on the fingertips. Don't worry about our mommy members because they are so good. So land on anywhere. I gave command to them. So they obey. Even such animals obey. But children of God cannot show faith as small as a mustard seed. Since they cannot show such little faith, how can they make peace with God? They do not trust God 100%, but they doubt. How can they make peace with God? Cancer and other germs and diseases, it is a so trivial disease before God. AIDS, leprosy, it's nothing. You don't hear? It's nothing. If you show your faith, then you'll be gone. Herniated disc? Herniated neck disc? Once you receive prayer, it's nothing. It can be healed right away. If you receive my prayer, your bent spine will be straightened up. The work of recreation, it can be done only when you show great faith. But people do not have such good faith. And I have to explain every time whenever we have divine healing meeting. Do I have to plant faith in a very short period of time? Even I told you many times, you heard it, but you slip it through the other ear. It happens a lot with the words that you speak. You speak out words of complaints, resentments, judging and condemnation, and it builds up a wall of sin before God. It also gives Satan a chance to bring accusations against you. It's not only with the case with new believers. Okay? If you speak these kind of words, the words of complaints and resentments and judging and condemnation, it gives chance to Satan to bring accusations against you. And it will become a great wall before God. So word of complaint, resentment, judging, and condemning. It becomes a wall of sin, and it gives Satan a chance to bring accusations against you. That you are my prey. You are mine. You just do whatever I tell you to do. This is what Satan thinks. So you should not do anything that will give a chance to Satan, okay? Let's say I hurt my vocal cord like this. Now, some people say around me that, well, you should take a break. Then I say, right, you understand my situation. I think I have to take a rest. And I should not use my vocal cord anymore. Let's say if I reply like this, then I give chance to Satan to bring accusations against me. Satan will say, okay, that's right, you have to take a rest. Well, if I take a rest, it will hurt more. Why? Because Father God will not hold me in His hand. He will not help me. If I take a rest, then it will become all okay. Well, I give chance to Satan. Since Father God cannot help me anymore. You think it's trivial? No. A great secret is hidden behind it. If you are spirit, you have to remember it. And you should never speak out a word that will give Satan a chance to bring accusations against you. You should not teach others as well. So only by faith. You should make a confession of faith only. You have to make a confession that you can do it. This is not only the case with new believers. Some of those who have faith, they say they long for goodness, act this way. Nevertheless, they do not realize that they are saying evil things because they think they are saying only things that are right. They are complaining and passing judgment and condemnation, but they think they are only speaking within the truth. For example, when God tells us to have peace, we have to realize the heart and will of God wants us to have peace and cultivate peace in our heart. We have to have peace and cultivate peace in our heart. Only then can we be confident before God, and we can also have true peace with others in all things and situations. But those who break peace begin to break peace with God, with the Word of God telling us to have peace. Now listen to me, how they break peace, okay? Father God says, make peace with everybody. But this person break peace with the Word of God. They speak out words of complaints and resentment, such as, God told us about peace, so why does that person always insist on his own opinions and give a hard time to others? Why does the mission group work in this way so that members are having a hard time? Why don't the leaders work more wisely and make a more comfortable environment for the members? They speak like this. They do not realize that they are speaking the word of complaints. And they don't remember what they say. They say it is the word of God, preached by the senior pastor, but they do not understand the heart of God or that of the shepherd. They just interpret it in their own way. Even today, do not be deceived. Some people sell the names of the shepherd. They say, you know, I told it to senior pastor and he said, okay, so do this. Well, there are people who do this. Senior pastor said never to go to this place. I've never said that. I rather said, you know, you'd better go there. But they altered what I said. For the church, you have to meet with such people, and it is better for you to go to that place. But they said, you know, senior pastor doesn't want you to go there. They conveyed my word like this. So it was completely opposite to what I said. But I've never said that. I mean, there are many people who said something that I never said before. They are only insisting on their own righteousness and goodness. They want what seems to be right in their sight to be fulfilled, saying, this is the way to have peace, and that is not the way. This kind of person has no peace in his heart. You can be confident before God only when you understand the will of God in everything and follow desires of the Holy Spirit. Through the words of truth, if you always think of what God wants of you and how you can please God, then you can have happiness and peace all the time. So that you can act in truth and goodness in all things. I urge you not to apply the standards of the truth to others, but to yourself. If you can become confident before God and please Him, you will always have spiritual peace everywhere you may go. Spiritual peace and fleshly peace. You have to discern them well. You should understand it well and make bread of it. Especially you, if you are workers of the church. Dear devotees, to become God's children who are peacemakers, third, you should have hope in heaven. You should have hope for heaven in New Jerusalem. Those who have such hope will not break peace, because it will hinder them from going to heaven and New Jerusalem. Where do you put your hope? Do you have hope in this world? I believe you have your hope in heaven, especially in New Jerusalem, right? To have your hope in heaven means you do not put your hope in the fleshly world. If you say, I have hope in heaven, but I want to enjoy this and that on this earth as well, then it does not make sense. Let's say you want to enjoy this and that in this world. Then if you enjoyed it in this world, it's not there in heaven. It is written in the word, in the Bible. Since you received the reward on this earth, so there is no reward in heaven for you. Well, you received everything on this earth, so there is no reward for you in heaven. That's what our Lord said. I mentioned about bowling and golf, right? I stopped it for the kingdom of God. To save time for kingdom of God, I quit it, right? I quit bowling and I quit golfing, right? Because I, you know, it is not a sin to play it. Play golf and play bowling. I can do it. But for the kingdom of God, I stopped it. I quit it. So, Father God prepared all those facilities in my home in New Jerusalem. You pay to play golf, but in heaven, it is so beautiful. I think I explained to you before, the bowling in my house, those bowling lanes, it is so huge. All our members can come to my house and play the bowling together. And then, you know, the elders part and the senior deaconess part and Levite part, you know, and then the servants of God part. And the male and female will be separated. They're all separated. But you feel happy, even in that situation. So elders will gather together. And now my family member will gather together, because they are all the members who would go to New Jerusalem. And then the house of my wife is right before my house. You have right to enjoy things in this world, but you have forsaken it for the kingdom of God. So Father God built such things in your house in New Jerusalem, so beautifully. The golf course and bowling center. You have to take airplane, or you have to take, you know, I think it was an Arabian night. You know, there is a carpet, you know, marriage carpet, right? You know, some people, you know, ride on it, right? I have that, you know, we have that kind of, you know, vehicle, and it moves, it flies. And it stops where I want to have a stop. No, it understands my heart automatically. You know, when I explained it in 1980s, you know, people didn't understand what I said. You are living in a primitive age. Well, everything is so well developed in heaven. You cannot imagine it with the knowledge of this world. What, have you been to a New Jerusalem? You know, I don't think you, I mean, have you ever, you know, have you ever had a ride on a magic carpet? You park your car in the parking lot, right? But the new driver cannot park his car where, right? But nowadays, cars park itself automatically. Nowadays, you don't need to park your car manually. But the car itself can take care of it, right? It happens nowadays in this world. The driver doesn't need to drive. The car itself can manage it to be parked. It measures the width and depth and take care of all the driving. When I mentioned it about, you know, a few decades ago, people didn't understand and they said, hey, no way, it cannot happen. Well, you have to repent. Now, what is it possible? What is impossible in heaven? Such beautiful heaven. You miss it, right? So, you have right to enjoy things. You can afford it. But for the kingdom of God, you don't do it. Then it will become reward to you, even greater. Dr. Esther Chung, how great her reward will be to save her time. She doesn't even go to her house. She stays in her office. She sleeps on her couch. I think she sleeps on the sofa. She doesn't go home. I heard that she goes to her house, you know, once or twice a year. She sleeps in school, I mean, in this church, in her office. Why? Because to save her time. I have hope in heaven, but I want to enjoy this and that on this earth. So it does not make sense. If you understand the value of the things above and invest in them, you will also understand how meaningless worldly things are. Of course, this does not mean that you must do only church work, neglecting your worldly duties. If you have hope in heaven, you must be faithful in all God's house. You should be faithful in the world so you can give glory to God by receiving His blessings. But you will not have any greed for any worldly things or covet any of them. If you covet something, you will eventually do something against the will of God. For example, those who engage in business might do something untruthful, acting against the word of God. And yet they say, it's not just for me. I learn a lot of money, then I will give a lot in offerings too. But this only proves that he does not have hope in heaven. On the outside, he says it is for the kingdom of God. But in fact, this hope came out from the fleshly mind. It is only for his satisfaction. But the hope in worldly things is not only about making a lot of money and eating and getting drunk. If you work a lot to be recognized by others, and if you want to be recognized as a faithful worker in the church, this is also worldly desire and hope. Even if nobody recognizes you, you have to think of the eyes of God and not the eyes of people. You should not recognize others. You should recognize God. You should do things not because you want to be seen by others, but you want to be seen by God. If you are such, you will never commit sin because you know God is watching at you. Now, God is watching over you all the time. But the problem is you don't have such a faith. If you have such a faith, then you will never commit sin. And you will never deceive others. You will never deceive yourself. Because Father God searches even your heart. So you will not have any evil in your heart. You will not serve others. You will not serve yourself. You will not deceive yourself. Even if nobody sees you, Father God is watching you. One servant cannot serve two masters. If you have hope in heaven, you have to store up your precious things in heaven. You should look up to the valuable things in heaven, and you have to invest your earthly life in heaven. So our Lord said, please store up your reward in heaven. Whatever you store on this earth is useless. Dear devotees, when the little children role play, they prefer to play the better role. If they play princess and the maid, they would want to play the princess. If there is a superhero role and an evil man role, they would want to play the superhero too. So among brothers and sisters, they might fight with each other, saying, why do I have to play the maid every time while you play the princess? Why do I have to be the evil man while you play the superhero every time? I believe you know what the situation is, right? They would want to have the good plastic sword with some jewels on it, while they want others to play with just ordinary wooden swords. But whether they were princes or maids, or army generals or presidents, they will leave everything behind and go back home when the day is over. If you, as a grown adult, play with those children, you wouldn't insist that you want to play the better role and fight with the children. Because you do not put any value or meaning in that play. It's the same with those who have hope in heaven. You would not covet the fame or authority on this earth, which you will leave behind eventually. You wouldn't try to step on others to climb up the social ladder and enjoy more things. You would not fight with others to undermine their opinions and to fulfill your wishes. You would only consider fleshly things valueless, so you can forsake even good things as waste. Because you understand how meaningless and futile the fleshly pleasure is. You can rejoice with the truth and seek the benefit of others when you consider others better than yourself with your heart. It is because you understand very well that only by doing so can you really enjoy the truly valuable things in heaven. You would rejoice when others are praised and recognized as if you were praised. So if you have such strong spiritual faith, when others are praised, that praise becomes yours. You will rejoice even greater than when you yourself are praised. Well, have you ever seen my wife got jealous when I give praise to some other members? Well, senior pastor loves, you know, some others more than he loves me. Have you ever seen my wife said that? Since she loves senior pastor so much, if someone makes me pleased, then she even loves that person. That is the spiritual love. The love that gives. The love that sacrifices. This is the true spiritual love that our Lord had and our Father God had. Our Father God sent His only begotten Son because He had such a spiritual love for us. Moses, Apostle Paul, they all did. You know, I lead the special prayer meeting and I hurt my vocal cord, but senior pastor, you know, praises others only. Well, she has never that kind of complaint. She rather tries to give me comfort more. If someone, you know, helps senior pastor take rest, then, you know, she always loves that person too. That's the true spiritual love. That's why I love my wife. And so does she. Rather than seeing the faults of others, you would think in goodness, in the viewpoint of others, looking at them with the eyes of faith. You wouldn't practice the truth feeling censored, feeling coerced. You can practice the truth with joy because you believe that it will make you whole, noble, and it will bring you honor. Let me conclude this message. Dear devotees, think about today's scripture, Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 once again. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. It says, sons of God. There are many meanings in this piece. Last Wednesday's service, you heard it. Okay? To make it short, you have to make peace with God the Father first. You have to make peace with yourself. And you have to make peace with your neighbors. Between your wife, between you and your wife, with your husband, with your children, with your neighbors, you have to make peace with everybody, not just the certain people. Okay? But first, you have to make peace with God. Those who can make peace with God can make peace with everybody. Why? Because He lives by the Word of God and He makes peace with Father God, so He will not have any conflict in His heart. So He can have peace in His heart. So He makes peace with Himself and He can make peace with others as well. He has no, you know, spiritual, I mean the fleshly strife in His heart. Since he maintains peace with God the Father, he can maintain peace in his heart as well. It means he has heaven in his heart. So once you have heaven in your heart, you can make peace with everybody. You will never break peace. You will make peace with everybody, absolutely. Only such people can see the face of our Father God and the Lord. If you go to heaven, those who go to paradise, in the first and second kingdom of heaven, they are not those who make true peace. So they cannot see the Lord face to face. That's why they went to the first paradise and the first and second kingdom of heaven. But if you go to New Jerusalem, you can see our Lord and God face to face, and you can have conversation with them. If you have peace with God, even on this earth, you can feel that Father God and the Lord is walking with you. When his disciples preached the word, Father God was with them, and proving that what they preach is right by manifesting signs and wonders. His disciples were the ones who could make peace with the Lord. What about Noah and Enoch? Father God walked with them. The same applies today. Even when this church says we see God, it is a good thing, but people of the world call this church heretic. They do not even listen to the voice of God the Father, but we do listen to the voice of God the Father. It is a great blessing. But they don't realize it. Some people write me letters saying that they heard the voice of God, even if they have nothing to do with God. Some people write me letters saying that they have conversation with God. They write me those letters to tell me or help me learn something. They have nothing to do with God the Father. To listen to the voice of God the Father and walk with Him, you should have no fault, you should flawless, and you should become holy and perfect. But they say they heard the voice of God the Father. Well, I don't deal with such people. Later on, the truth will be revealed. The evidence that they didn't walk with God the Father will be revealed. So, those who can make peace with God the Father can walk with God the Father on this earth, and the impossible become possible, and the possible things even go more prosperous. So, as written in Proverbs chapter 16, Father God supervises everything by Himself. Even if you make a mistake, Father God straightens up the way that you walk. That's why there is no failure. There is no mistakes. Why? Because Father God supervises your way by Himself. So there is no way you go to fail. Some people are too good and they are deceived. Well, those who accomplish true goodness will not be deceived by others. Well, they are deceived even if they know they are being deceived. Why? Because for the benefit of others. Even if they lose some money, they just are deceived for the benefit of others. It's not sons of the president or some billionaire, but the sons of God. If the owner of all things in the heavens and earth and the Almighty God recognize you as His dear sons, what would you lack in your life? Please, become peacemakers. You should have true goodness in heart and have peace with everybody. You should act in true goodness in God's eyes so that you can have peace with God as well. I hope that you will place your hope only in heaven and cast away meaningless things of this world so that you will always have peace in you. So those who have peace will have happiness and joy all the time in their hearts because the Satan cannot do anything with their hearts. They cannot plant any evilness into their hearts because they always communicate with God the Father. In doing so, as true sons and daughters of God the Creator, may you give glory to God on the earth and also enter into the most precious place in heavenly kingdom. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Let's think over the message and prayer together. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you for your grace and love. Father, please let what they heard today become faith and life in their hearts. Father, thank you. Let them pursue peace with everybody. Let all Paul's mission and Mary's mission members pursue peace with everybody. Let all members of Mommy members pursue peace with everybody. Father God, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I will pray for the sick. Please lay your hands on the sick part of your body or desires. Father God, thank you. Please lay your hands on them. Please lay your hands on their sick parts. Transcending space and time, please work for them. Pastor Kyung Tae Chung of Japan is going to lead the handkerchief prayer meeting in Tabata Mamin Church on April 10th. Bless him. Bless Pastor Sang-hui Kim. He's going to lead the handkerchief prayer meeting in Dehradun, Saharanpur, Lukri area from April 4th until April 4th. Hold him with your power and hand of power. Please bless Pastor Paul Lee in German to lead the fourth seminar of Measure of Faith. Bless Yongjang Kim in Fiji to have all work for exportation of the sugar to Korea will go prosperously. Bless Kang Jin-jung. He is the president of the Korean Adoption Association in Sweden. Bless him so that the field games for Korean adopted family, which will take place from May 20th to 22nd. And then bless all the Korean people who are adopted to Sweden. For what will? Bless Nigora Bardayeva to be healed of breast cancer and headache. Bless Juanita of India to go to a good high school. Bless Esther Ziba to be healed of tuberculosis and to get rid of all the pains and to receive financial blessing and to finish the construction well and to make whole family evangelized. Bless Betty Uzan Castrino of the Belgium to recover the right for her children after devotion. Bless Lu Fang to be able to sell gold color viewing stones at a good price. Bless him so that he can solve the misunderstanding while he was misunderstood while preaching the gospel to others. Father, please, Zhang Yuhong, to finish the fasting well. Father, please lay your hands on these people in every intestines and organs and nerve system. Burn all diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. High blood pressure, low blood pressure, skin diseases, itching, and the ruptured bones, and the bent knees and bent spine and herniated disc, make all things go well and become normal. Father, please protect all these people for this week. Father God, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Father God, Paul's mission and Mary's mission, Father, please let them pursue peace and holiness and maintain peace with God the Father and with themselves and with everybody. And let them experience great revival. Bless them, Father. give a blessing to their work. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.